Blog Talk Radio.
All give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If God has been good to you and he brought you through, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He'll put food on your table. Oh, my God, I know he's able. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Lift your hands and just say yes. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I say yes, Lord. Completely yes. Can you say completely yes at this time? Because if you can, and you desire the best that the kingdom of heaven has to offer, you will give thanks and praise unto the Lord at this time. It does not matter where you are in your life, what you've gone through, what you're experiencing now. God is able. Do you hear me? God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. And let me tell you something. Lift up that head that bows down. Straighten out those bent knees. Put some strength into your back. And look up, and know that your redemption draws nigh. Oh, thank God for Jesus today. I don't know where you are. I don't know who you are. But God knows you by your name. And this word of knowledge is for you. For those of you who are struggling against the adversity. Sometimes it gets to a point in your life where you're tried on every hand. But God is not going to allow the enemy to plunder or destroy you. And every opposing force in the name of Jesus is put to a halt. Every assignment to countermeasure your progress, to cause you discouragement, to cause you depression, to cause you frustration, aggravation, and even annihilation. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Every spirit, every negative energy, every annunciation of darkness, be gone in the name of Jesus. We're speaking miracles today. We're speaking redemption today. We're speaking the miracle-working power of Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. We're speaking the miracle presence of Almighty God and Jehovah Rapha, God, our healer. And we're speaking today to those who are questionable of their standing God, Jehovah Nissi, Lord God, our back, and Jehovah to serve, Lord God, our righteousness. And through his righteousness and through the power of God's presence, we're blessing you today. We're thanking God for you. Okay. And we're praising God for you in the midst of it all. In the midst of it all, we're thanking God today, and we're blessing you. It doesn't matter where you are. God knows where you are. And we know, too, that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And don't you ever get discouraged. Don't you ever say you're throwing in the towel. This is what the enemy wants. This is what he desires to do. You know what? Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat. He said, but I've already prayed for you that your faith faileth you not. And we know that faith is that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And we know that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we know that he that seeks God must seek him diligently and know that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I just want you to close your eyes and thank God for just 2 minutes and just believe God for your redemption. Don't you feel the presence of God? Don't you feel his anointing? Know today that it is the anointing of God that breaketh the yoke. That yoke of bondage, that yoke of prison, that yoke of depression. So somebody in listening land. I don't know who you are, but God knows you by your name. God is speaking life into your situation. God is speaking revival into every affair in your life that seems to be turning against you. Whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in your finances, in your body, in your mind, in your family, in your immediate social surroundings, God is revitalizing you, and he's realigning and restructuring you and setting you on a path of joy, of peace, of love, and divine intervention. God is doing it, and he will let you know that he has already intervened on your behalf. And what you need to do is when God sends the dunamis, that dynamite, that living word, that quickening word, that anointed word, that breakthrough, praise him for it. And know that God uses the hand of man to bless his children. But even so, the psalmist says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And the afflictions don't have to be physical conditions. It can be things in your life just in turbulence. It can be relationships. It can be provisions. It can be finance. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of them all. Not a few, not some, not a couple, but out of them all. And I tell you, that gives reason to give raise to the praise on this glorious and victorious, and we know it is, a glorious and victorious Sunday, April 24th, 2022. You've tuned into the manner of speaking, and we're thanking God for you. That's right, we're thanking God for you. That's right, for all of his blessings, seen and unseen, known and unknown. Intangible, then translating to tangible. We thank God today. And I just thank God for a time of refreshing, of revitalization, and of renewal, of progressing into the very work of the vineyard. And Jesus told us to go into the vineyard and work. He said, and whatever is right, I will pay you. That's right. And can't nobody do you like Jesus can do you. Let me tell you, let me tell you, let me tell you. And I tell you, I've been working in the vineyard. I've been on assignment for the last couple of weeks and saying to myself, I said, Lord, I've got to go back and to speak to your people because this is the hour of awakening. This is the hour of redemption. This is the hour of revival, that God is doing a great and mighty thing in the body of Christ to us. Because we need him. We need him more now than ever. As we look at the affairs of the world, of society in general, the instability, the anomaly, the frustration, the anger, the resentment, the hatred, the malice, the bias. Oh, we need him more now than ever. And let me tell you something. God is sensitive to those who call. Who call on him and call upon him. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower and that the righteous run into it and they are saved. They're safe. They're guarded. They're protected. But we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we're just thanking God for you today and we're praising God for his deliverance. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know, hallelujah is one of the highest praises that you can give to God. You're giving your respect unto him and his posture of who he is and what he is. And you're giving regards to the fact you know that he's large and he's in charge. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him do it. He's a deceiver, a liar, a destroyer of nations. Breaching the very compact initiations of the brotherhood, of the sisterhood, trying his best to break up the unity. Because he knows that where there is unity, there is strength. So be encouraged today and look up for your redemption, draw nigh. And just thanking God for all of his wonderful blessings unto us. And let me tell you something. In the midst of it all, God will prevail. He will. He will prevail. So hold on. Hold fast. And as God spake unto Moses, when Moses was experiencing turbulence while in the land of bondage, the land of Egypt, what did God tell him? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's right. He said, because I am that I am. That means complete. There's no more questions. There's no more doubtful disputations. There's no more confusion. There is no controversy. I am. God said that I am. So when the great I am speaks, we halt, we listen, we receive, and we bless those who are in our midst. And I'm just thanking God so much today. You know something? The little things of life. God told us in his word, he says, you be faithful over a few things, and I'll make you the ruler of many. Have we been grateful? Reflect back on the events of this week. The good, the not so good. Have we been faithful to give God praise, to give him adoration, to thank him? He says, if we be faithful over a few things, the smallest things, and there is a jargon that the secular setting of society says that little things mean a lot. God said, if we be just grateful for those small things, he will make us rulers of many. Delight yourself in the promises of God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So glory be to his name. Glory be to his precious name on today. And let me tell you something. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must be diligent. As we're diligent in our places of careers and employment, as our dedication to citizenship within our great and blessed country of America, as we're diligent in the pursuit of happiness for our families, we need to have the same velocity, the same fervor when it comes to establishing a one-on-one relationship with God. And this is where it all starts. It's called the Genesis perspective. We're going back to the basics. Some of us have gotten so into the area of complexity, we forgot how important the basics are. The basics are God-focused, God-centered worship, establishing a one-on-one communication with God through prayer, through meditation, through forgiveness, and through the love of God. Because we can't do any of these things alone. It takes the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the anointing of God through the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke. And just thank God for the power of his word today. And I know so many of you have been communicating and reaching out to me by way of email, and I thank you. You can always do that. I provide my personal email address where you can ask questions or address concerns as we're moving forward up this pathway of excellence. So God has given us a design for excellence because he has empowered us to through greatness and unto greatness. And we're going to keep on progressing up the King's highway. And so let me tell you something. Sometimes you feel alone. But you know what? You're never lonely. Because Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's just blessed assurance of knowing that God is with us. That's right. And behold, how great it is to know that divine revelation. And there was an email transmitted to me a couple of weeks ago, and I'm just now getting to it. And what better time? Sometimes the seasons predicate certain responses. You know, you don't expect to get roses in the middle of winter because the seasons are not appropriated for roses to spring forth to blossom. So therefore, sometimes certain answers or certain responses are not configuratory to that season. But here is the concern that was addressed to me. It was about the areas of ministry of deliverance. And let me tell you something about ministries of deliverance. I'm going to speak about it. You know, God is an emancipator. And God uses the power of the proclamation. So we put together emancipation proclamation. That means the deed that frees you, that releases you from the world. And Jesus, when he freed us, he that the Son has set free is free and free indeed. There are no mega Christians. Let's get out of that mindset. I don't know where we get that from. We take and we exalt mankind and put him on a platform and look at him as being the answer to what ails us. No, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And the power of the blood of Jesus is what commands the negative forces, the wickedness, the insanity of this world to bow down and get out, remove itself from you. When you are going to try to seek a relationship with God and you're looking for these men and women, first of all, let's understand this. As ministers of the gospel, Apostle Paul said he would that we all would minister. There's different areas and different assignments of ministry. Ministry is not just going and just teaching the word of God, because when the lights are off and everybody is out of the central establishment where you're standing, you've got to carry the banner with you. You still got to walk the path of righteousness. And as men and women of natural birth, we are not perfect. We have faults. We have shortcomings. We fail sometimes. And even sometimes if we're not careful, we don't catch the failure before it progresses, we can sin. And the scripture tells us in John, if a man saith he hath no sin, he is a liar, and the truth of God does not dwell in him. So we all sin because we're born of the flesh. And the flesh is imperative and reflective of the sin nature. That's right. That's why we have to walk in the spirit, that we fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Well, the Lord says the lust of the flesh is the lust of the eyes, and then comes the pride of life. So when you're talking about pursuing in the areas of deliverance ministries and following individuals in the public arena of things, know that these individuals are not perfect. They're not mega Christians. The same Holy Spirit that they profess that they have and let their fruits match their profession, Lord have mercy, let's say that, is the same Holy Spirit that you as a believer have privilege to. There's no two different Holy Spirits. Get away from that. The doctrines of devils teach us separation and adversity. The same Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, that quickens the believers in times past, that ascended upon our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ as a dove, is the same Holy Spirit that's encompassed within us. There's only one Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, we have access to the throne of grace. Why? Because we've taken on the nature of Jesus Christ. We've taken on his name. Therefore, Father God can look upon us as his beloved children. That's right, as his beloved children. And when we cry out and we're asking him for divine favor, we don't allow our flesh to impute doubtful disputation. We don't waver. We're steadfast, and we should be unmovable. Considering the fact that God is the Almighty, he is El Shaddai, he is El Yoham, he is Yahweh, the only way, and that we seek deliverance through the name of Jesus. When we pray, and we pray directly, and our hearts are pure, and our hands are clean, which means that we're not devising weapons to try to tear others down or destroy others, And we're not walking according to the laws of the flesh, but to the laws of the Holy Spirit. We have access to the power of God. And when we pray in faith. And it's through faith, the channeling in, and by faith, which is the reciprocal of which we see the manifestations of miracles. So it's fine to desire others to pray with you because one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. But don't put your confidence in man or in woman because they will fail you. Put your confidence in God and trust him to be your deliverer, to be your protector, your provider, your healer, your counselor, your defender, to be everything that you need to be. And anyone who tells you that in order to be delivered, to be blessed, you have to send me money, that is a charlatan statement. That's a lie from the epitome of darkness itself. No. Jesus spoke to us as ministers, as teachers of the gospel, as pastors. He said, don't take a purse. I mean, look to get rich off the impoverished or to gain momentum of wealth through them. And don't take a script. That means you're not reading from a presentation. You're allowing the Holy Spirit. See, we have gotten too programmed into the modern age society. That we call, that's now referred to not only as the technological age computer, it's called the information age. And we're no longer allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. We become programmed to a systematic exchange of statements, of cause and effect. That's not the way the Holy Spirit operates. That's the carnal mind. So we need to get back into the effectiveness of walking through the power of the Holy Spirit, where the manifestations can take place. So anyone who tells you that you have to send me some money to seal your miracle, Jesus sealed your miracle when he sacrificed himself on Calvary to redeem us from eternal separation from God. When he spake these last words, it is finished. That was the opening door of your miracle. That was the opening door of the anointing being imputed or empowered or endued upon us. That's powerful. That's powerful. And he didn't ask anyone to give him money. He didn't tell anyone to present to him a gift. He gave us the gift of salvation. Anyone who tells you this, turn away from them quickly. Don't follow the crowd. Scripture tells us, broad is the way, wide is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many follow therein. But straight is the way, and narrow is the path that leads into eternal life, and few find it. Why? Because it's not the popularity road. It's not the juncture of where the crowd is. And see, where the crowd is following, oftentimes there is no truth being taught there. It's merely a conformality, a cosmopolitan, up-to-phase, modernized projection. Because people don't want holiness anymore. It was a time that pastors and teachers and ministers would speak the word of truth through holiness and talk about the delivering power of God, the miracle manifestations of God. Now, it's watered down and compromised. It's formality, fitting in, you know, getting the money in. And, you know, the scripture tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil. Money answers all things. You can't live without money, and God knows that. And that's why Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. So he got us covered. Don't sit up and wonder about how you're going to pay your mortgage, how you're going to pay your rent. He's Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. He hasn't changed. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. So let go of that. But don't get yourself caught up in the web of deception, because oftentimes these types of establishments are just draining people, draining them dry, confusing them. And when the person comes out, oftentimes they're bitter, they're resentful, they're full of anger and animosity because they feel as though they've been taken advantage of. Well, Jesus already told us, he warned us. He said, in the last days, I mean the latter times of mankind's civilization in this age, in this era, he said, there's going to be coming many false prophets. They're but ravening wolves in sheep's clothing. And that we need to try the Spirit by the Spirit to see whether it be of God. But we don't want to try to survive the Spirit. We want the popcorn result. We want it right then, right now, and I got to have it. No. Walk according to the law of God. Read his word. Let his word become a consistency in your life. And you know what? Jesus told us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. So yes, God does miracles and deliverance. He does the impossible. He does the supernatural. But we have to accept him through his word, walk in his spirit, obey his voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So when these people come and they present themselves as doing all these things, be observant, be sober, and be vigilant, and try the spirit by the spirit, and you won't get taken advantage of. But yes, God is a deliverer. Your miracles happen today? Oh, you better believe it. Physical miracles where people are healed from various diseases. And you know something? Let me tell you this. When Jesus, merely but his effigy, his shadow, came into contact, that child was delivered. Yes, Apostle Paul prayed. He put his aprons upon him, laid it upon those who were afflicted. Signs and wonders follow them. We don't have to follow signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow us. He said, in his name, we cast out devils. Not in the name of an organization, but in his name, cast out devils. Heal the afflicted, heal the sick, raise the dead, blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the dumb speak, the lame will walk in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of an organization or individual. This is where we fall off the point and we go into cult types of establishment. The power of the Holy Spirit does the miracle. Jesus is the name that is recognized that brings the miracles about because he's a conduit into the kingdom of heaven and God's only begotten Son, who is now our Lord of lords and our King of kings. His authority is what gives us the ability. And let us keep that consistent and in mind. And thank you for bringing up that concern because we need to ask questions. The problem is God said, my people are destroyed through the lack of knowledge. Sometimes when you lack knowledge, you fall into ignorance. You fall into things you don't have any degree of knowledge about. We are helpless one to another. We don't have all the answers. This is why we go from faith to faith and from grace to grace. We grow in this. We don't come in as mega Christians, mega teachers, mega ministers. There's no such a thing. We grow. Just as a child grows and matures and able to do more things, more formidable than before. Because through age comes grace. Through grace comes ability. Through ability comes maturity. Through maturity comes result. And through results comes wisdom. And this is what we are. We are at the growing stage and at the growing phase. And just thank God for you today. Let's go very quickly. We were in the power of the Psalms. Again, Psalms is one of the most wonderful books in the Bible. And by far the longest, 150 divisions strong. And sometimes when you need a word of encouragement or a word of knowledge, go to the book of Psalms. Go to the book of Psalms. You will get that. You will even see where the areas of concern are addressed with David, with Nathan, with various writers who have pour their hearts out to God. And Psalms is a very personal book. If you've not went into the book of Psalms, you're going to see a diversity, a whole plethora of topics, of issues, of areas where the humankind is communicating with God and receiving the message of God back to them. And sometimes we need to go back again to the Genesis perspective of our salvation. Some of us got too grown and gone. We need to come back and get it right. Okay? We're going to go to the seventh division of Psalms. If you can take time, go get your Bible. Open up the seventh division of Psalms, and this is where we're going. We're going to ask that God, through his almighty power, open up the windows of our understanding and teach us through the power of your word to stand on your word and to receive the greatness that you have installed upon each and every one of us. And here this psalm is of David, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Benjamin, the Cush, the Cushite. And you know that the Cushites were Ethiopians. They were Africans. See, God is a multifaceted God. He's a God of all mankind. We're like spectrums in the rainbow. We're different, but we are part of that intricate design. He says, oh, Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. What is he saying? David is saying, Lord, I'm putting everything that I have in you. Safeguard me from those who desire to harm me and to bring me down. Let your presence be made known unto me, because I need you. I need you right now. He says, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rendering it into pieces, while there is none to deliver. He says, not lest my enemies will prevail over me, and they will laugh at me. You know, when people think they've got the upper hand on you, they have a tendency to just really feel and think that they're superior to you. And David was still in that sense of doubt, that sense of fear and uncertainty. He said, oh, Lord, my God, if I have done this, there be any iniquity in my hand. He said, Lord, if I've done or desired anything wrong, well, we know what David did. Now, come on now. You go, oh, yes, about Bathsheba, we know that he was with another man's wife, and that was not according to the will of God. We'll all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but God didn't strip him, but God had to chasten him. And see, can't nobody chastise you while God can do it. Oh, he can remove people from you. He can change situations. Your comfort zone becomes the battle zone because he wants your focus and your attention to be strictly upon him, and he wants you to correct the thing that you have done wrong. And, you know, it's not a sin to correct things and to reestablish things when they're not right. Don't overplight and overthrow what's wrong. You have to be willing to accept what's wrong and take it from there. And this is what David did. He's pouring himself out to God because he feels as though God may not be pleased with him. He says, if I have rewarded evil unto what him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let them tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. He's saying, if I've done wrong and I've not asked forgiveness and I've overshadowed my wrong, well then allow them to overtake me. But what? He's saying, because this is his reward. At that time, if he has done wrong, he said, arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of my enemies and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. He's saying, Lord, because I put my trust in you, forgive me. Come to my defense. I need you. Have you ever been in a time in your life where you just say, God, I just need you? Everything that I'm doing is not seeing as though it's balancing. It's not being profitable. I look and see the profitability of others and the prosperity of others. I'm disturbed. And sometimes you can't. And if you're not careful, a spirit of envy a spirit of jealousy, and which would translate over to resentment. Remember when Cain saw the blessings that God imputed into Abel's life? Because Abel was giving God his best. Cain got so filled with indignation and with malice that he ended up murdering his brother, but then he put a curse upon himself, and he had to live with that curse. So when you see these areas in your life where you're feeling as though you're not being treated fairly, and you're looking at the good things that are happening for other people, don't get angry. Thank God for their blessings, because know that yours is shortly on the way. And you have to endure some things, because God has to let you know that he's the one that's largely in charge. It's not you. It's he that is commanding greatness in your life. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about for their sakes. Therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to thy righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. He said, you know what? In the midst of where I am, with others on looking upon me, Lord, be merciful to me and be considerate of me, Lord, because I desire you. Do you truly desire a one-on-one relationship with God? Do you truly desire a one-on-one relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord? Remember, he is our high priest. He's our predecessor. That's right. He is our mediator between God the Father and us. And he's saying, Lord, just bless me so to the point that I feel your approval upon me. Because, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. I mean, Lord, whatever plots and plans and the secret adversities they've been planning against me, praying against me, hoping against me, using enchantment, you know, it's a sad thing, and I'm going to say, you can't be a child of God and use enchantment. Why would you hope against your brethren? Why would you desire to see them fail and fall to nothing? If anything, we need to lift each other up. And in lifting each other up, we get God's attention. And God will bless us as well as he has blessed them. We get so selfish. We get so carnal-minded. That's why the scripture warns us against carnality. To be carnal-minded is death, and to be spiritually-minded is life and is peace. You don't learn that through some biblical instructional institution. You learn that through the power, the anointing of God, through the Holy Spirit. We get so caught up in the secular setting of things and attending these various institutes and these instructional sessions, we forget it starts with the Genesis perspective, the mano-a-mano, one-on-one relationship with God. And that's where it stops. And it should continue on that way. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. I mean, stop them, Lord. And we're going to see some great miracles just break through this week, because we're at this point and we're at this place. We're tired of the stagnation and the indignation and the frustration and the aggravation and the deprivation. It's time for that latter rain and that Shekinah glory to show up and show out. And it's time for that latter rain to cause that squall where that cedar of Lebanon stretched from one horizon to the other. It's time, my brethren. It's time, precious pilgrim. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. This is how we confirm to the fact that we know that we're walking in God's service, because we desire peace. That's right. We desire peace. And the scripture tells us to pursue peace. That means equilateral balance and harmony, not confusion and adversity. That's of the enemy. For he is a liar and a destroyer of nations and an accuser of the brethren. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Keep playing with God's children. Keep plotting and planning, doing things to try to sidetrack us. The hand of God, wrath of God, is upon the children of disobedience. Some folks know they haven't done you right. Don't be angry. Don't think I'll forget revenge, because God said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. Leave them alone. Let go and let God. Can't nobody straighten folks out like the Lord can. So don't get yourself all in a riled, upset, and veins popping out and balling up your fists, hitting the walls, hitting the table. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And the thing about it, when God repays them, he'll let you see it. And if you're not in the physical place where the repayment is, you'll hear about it. And that is confirmation that God is on your side. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. That means the very plot, the very anomaly of which they plan against us is going to be done unto them. And done unto them in a manner in which it will destroy them. It will denigrate them and then destroy them. But God said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophet no harm. So God is not playing. You think he's changed the format of what he said? No. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will stand. Then he said, what? Before one jot of what God promised us is altered or changed, he said he will allow heaven and earth to pass away. And to this day, and to this record, the earth is still here. And remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And them and they that dwell therein. And the heavens are still intact. So God doesn't change. He doesn't alter what he says to us. His promises are exact to the point. We don't have to worry about that. There's just a timetable of the seasons of when he moves and when he progresses. It's at the right on time. Yes, it is. He has also prepared for him the instrument of death. He ordained his arrows against the persecutor. I mean, the people that set up and tried to do you in by evil thoughts, evil intentions, spirits of enchantment, and plotting and planning verbally, God has their punishment with their names ascribed to it. And again, we look at them and say, I would want to be in your shoes if somebody paid me a gazillion dollars to be there, because God's hand of wrath don't let up until true vengeance has been taken. It's one thing to avenge, but vengeance means it's a perpetuation of things to straighten them out. And sometimes if they're not careful, God will give them over to death because they don't want to stop. This is some people, and this is just aggravating, that profess to be Christians, true believers, and carry so much hatred, carry so much malice, so much jealousy, and they just destroying themselves. They need deliverance. But first of all, they got to acknowledge that they have an issue. And it can happen. It can happen because, again, we are born of the flesh. And because we're born of the flesh, we have tendencies and obtuities to certain behaviors. And if those behaviors are not addressed and the empathy stays in the very embryonic stage, it manifests into the infant stage. And from the infant stage comes the newborn stage. It's grown to something of unmedicated proportion. So when we see these things, we have to address them, to remove them. You know, in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight. Weights become sin. And let us run with patience this race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith. That's what we have to do. Because this is the wrath of God going to come upon those who wronged us, who hurt us, who devise evil schemes and plots and underhanded methodologies of operation and manipulation. God is preparing for them the ultimate finish. And we should pray for them that they get their lives right before God's hand strike them, because can't nobody hand strike you like God's hand can strike you. Look what happened to the land of Egypt. Egypt almost got obliterated through all the plagues and the adversities and the very curses that God allowed, because he kept messing with God's people. Don't mess with God's children. Don't mess with his anointed and his appointed and try to sidetrack us or undermine us, because God's wrath is kindled against all who do so. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen to the ditch which he made. That's right. All we have to do is walk as God has commanded us in the spirit. We fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Allow God to be our vengeance doer. Keep our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once received unto the saints. Walk in the spirit that we fulfill not the lust of the flesh. With all our imperfections, ask God for forgiveness when we stumble, when we don't fulfill that which we have desired to do so. And when we do this, we're guarded, we're protected, and we're covered under his wings, and we're kept under his watchful eye. And God will give his angel guarding over us and our loved ones and those who are within our close proximity. He says, his mischief shall return unto his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own patches. What he's saying, that God is going to allow them to be impacted by what they try to do to you. God is going to give you and I divine favor, that others will speak up in our behalf and do for us and help us and bless us and prosper us, because it's God that's doing the favor. It's not us. We think we're manipulating things. God is letting us know by this season that we experience that he is large and in charge. He is high and in command, and we need to let go and allow him to be as such. He said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. It says, God, because you're protecting me, you're keeping me, you're blessing me, you're prospering me, you just keep doing great things for me, I will continually sing within my soul and be thankful and be grateful unto you for all that you do for me. And remember, God told us in his word, if we be faithful over a few things, he will make us ruler of many. It's the season. It's a season of change and exchange. Sometimes God has to allow purge to happen, that we will think and remove from our immediate environment, because God wants to show us who he is. And I thank you, Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And we ask that you continue to show us loving kindness and tender mercy, to touch, heal, and deliver those who are carrying the load of affliction today, Lord, whether that affliction be mentally, whether it be physically, whether it be psychologically, emotionally, financially. Father God, show yourself as being God unto us. And we thank you. We praise you. We bless your name. And we acknowledge the power of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And with long life, will you satisfy us and show us your salvation. And we thank God for you. We thank God for you on here on the matter of speaking. You've got your host, the Esquire, the Eighth Oak, known as Motor City Maharani, saying all things to your saints. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we're looking forward to fellowshipping with you again next Sunday. And until then, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. For God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think. Be blessed and have a miracle-filled, wonderful week.